Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome to Horse Hour Live. Hope you've had a good weekend. Tonight we're talking young horses and training. And in particular, when is too young to be training a horse? It could be starting it, backing the horse, could be racing the horse, jumping the horse, doing dressage moves with the horse. When is too young? As always, just include hashtag Horse Hour in your tweets. Hey, welcome to Horse Hour Live. Hope you've had a good weekend and you're enjoying Horse Hour on Twitter tonight. So tonight I thought we'd talk about young horses because we've had quite a few debates on how young is too young to be training your horse. And there's different disciplines that have different ages for their development. So I wanted to do a bit of research just to find out really what do the horses go through at their different ages? Because I've always been brought up that 3 years old, 3.5 is when you start backing a horse or starting a horse. And then after that, the next couple of years, you have to take your time with them because their bones haven't developed, their muscles haven't developed, they don't have enough strength. So when we look at race horses, they're raced at 2, 2.5 years old. I've had this question in my head, is that too young? And then at some competitions, they've got four-year-old classes where the four-year-old horses are jumping really, really high. And I'm just really curious to know what you think, really. Do you have any experience with young horses? Have you backed young horses? What age do you think is too young to be training horses? And I'll also share with you some information that I found when doing some research. So I hope you enjoy Horse Hour Live tonight. You can comment on Twitter. Just use hashtag Horse Hour. You can also send me a direct message and you can comment on Facebook. Do let me know what you think. What age is too young to be training horses? This is Horse Hour.
Race it like ocean, sailed this night, ocean, say everything. Say here,
welcome back to Horse Hour Live. So tonight we're talking young horses. When is too young to be training a horse? Because recently there have been some shows which have four-year-olds jumping 3 foot, 4 foot, some even 5 foot fences, which to me seems quite insane because the horses are still young. So I was always taught that a young horse, they haven't developed properly. You know, their tendons, their muscles, their bones, they're not strong enough to be handling that pressure. So I'm wondering how far people will go to train their horses. How young will they go? Will they start them younger, hoping that, you know, they'll have more time to be able to spend with them, to be able to get them up to a higher level quicker? Or is it a case of we're just hurting them? And actually starting a horse too young is going to end up that horse being injured and not be able to be used and generally not have a very happy life. And the question that I often think to myself is, in the racing industry, they do race them young, 2, 2.5 years old. And I've always asked, is that too young? I did hear the other day that they use the term wastage. And it's used to describe losses that occur during the training and racing of a horse. And that worries me quite a lot, that is this happening so much that they've now got a name for it? Do you not think maybe we should be thinking about how we train our horses, especially how we train our racehorses? Now, this isn't a, you know, against racehorse podcast or for racing podcast or, you know, against anybody that jumps their horse. This is literally just finding out a bit more information to say, like, how can we make an informed decision of what's best for our horse? So if you have a young horse, should you be going out and jumping it at 3 years old? Should you be galloping it across the forest if it's just only just been backed? Now, my personal opinion is I don't think you should, because I bought Blackjack at 4 years old and I can categorically say he was nowhere near developed to be doing things like that. If I'd put him under pressure when he was four to be jumping, his brain wouldn't be able to cope with it, let alone his muscles and his ligaments to be able to cope with it. So I really am interested to know how many people do train their horses younger than the age of three. And what do you do within the training process? So if you start them at two, we're not going to hate on you at all. I just want to find out why. What's the reason? And has it worked for you? A number of studies have shown that musculoskeletal injury is by far the most common reason for this wastage in the racing industry. They've even got statistics. So there was a study of 314 thoroughbreds in Newmarket that found that lameness was the single most important reason for wastage in young horses in training. And more than half of those horses experienced a period of lameness. And about 20% of affected horses, lameness was severe enough to prevent racing during the period of investigation. Those figures to me is huge. Out of 314 thoroughbreds, more than half of those horses experience lameness. More than half. That's got to be because they're not developed yet. There's that many different factors can contribute to the development of the injury. Some of these suggestions are that the problems stem from the training and racing of two-year-olds. So most racehorses begin training from 18 to 20 months of age, a year or more before the skeleton has reached full maturity. So I think sometimes I put this back to children. I think, well, the children start walking at a certain age. You know, they're 2, 2.5 years old when they start walking and their skeleton isn't developed fully yet. However, would you put that pressure on a child? Would you expect them to lift weights and go run a marathon and, you know, spend all day on their feet? You just wouldn't, because you know that they haven't developed enough. So why are we putting this pressure on our horses? It categorically says that they are not fully mature. Their skeleton hasn't reached full maturity until 3 years old. So why are we doing it? These are just things that I'm talking through you as just questions that I've had in my head, but I'm really interested to know what you think. You can tag me on Twitter, just #HorseHour, or you can comment on Facebook as well. So There's been a few animal welfare implications of the training of and racing of young thoroughbred horses, starting at 2 years old. But before we actually talk about what we think, there is a survey information to indicate that there's a high incidence of injuries in young horses in training. But on the other hand, recent studies have also demonstrated that thoroughbreds which begin racing as two-year-olds have longer careers compared to those which begin training and racing at an older age. As well, there's growing evidence that in order to maximise the increases in bone and tendon strength that accompany training, horses should begin training at an early age. So on one step, it's saying, yes, they should be training at a young age because they have longer careers, which frazzles my brain a little bit if they're getting lame. But on the other hand, it's saying 50% of those horses that were trained young became lame. So I guess it's the other factors are how lame are those horses? Are they just aching a little bit or are they in severe pain? That those are the things that, that we don't know the answers to.
Green Sally up, green Sally down, left on start, got a tail to crown. Green Sally up, green Sally down, left on start, got a tail to crown. Green Sally up.
Welcome back to Horse Hour Live. So when I first thought about doing a podcast and opening up the discussion on young horses and training and how young is too young for a horse to go through rigorous training, I never imagined actually how complex this question would be. Because we look at racehorses and we know that they're two and a half years old when they're racing. And a lot of the studies that I've found are actually contradicting each other, but it's all about how they're put across. There was a study in New Zealand and it was written in loads of press and lots of horse magazines, and it was written as a positive study. And it said, New Zealand study finds two-year-old racing training may benefit horses. So I'll read this to you because I'd love to know what you think, okay? They said that the research conducted at Massey University studied 4,683 horses from a foal crop. So 4,683. And what they were testing, or what they were looking for, was the association between training milestones as two-year-olds with their length of career and then their racing success. And this was only in thoroughbred horses in New Zealand. And what they concluded from their study was that horses in training or racing as two-year-olds may have better musculoskeletal health throughout life than horses that are first in training or racing at a later age. What they got from their study, though, which they've left out of the article, is that 4,683 foals were registered, but only 3,152 foals made it to the trainer. So what happened to 1,531 foals that didn't make it to the trainer? Why didn't they make it to the trainer through the backing process and through the initial training stage? So that's 30% of the foal crop that never made it to a trainer. It's just, to me, quite baffling, because the article is that training at young horses is beneficial to their musculoskeletal system, but they've missed out the fact that 30% never even made it to the trainer. So what happened to that 30%? I mean, were they injured? Were they hurt? And then I've read articles and comments, and you've been great at letting us know what you think and your horses. And I'm fascinated with so many ex-race horses that, you know, you've taken them on and tried to retrain them. And they all have severe injuries that happen from when they were trained so young. So they have back injuries or ligament issues or tendon problems. And I am going to openly say I'm not a vet and I'm not, you know, a researcher. I've just been searching to try and find a few facts and a bit of information. And I'm determined to find a guest who's going to be brave enough to talk to me to talk about this. The truth is, it's been quite hard finding a guest to come onto this podcast, because nobody really wants to give their view either way, but I am determined to find somebody. So for now, I'm just trying to share with you the facts that I found. So it is difficult, really, for me to sit here and say that training is good for young horses when all I can see is that so many horses are hurt by it by the young age. And I still look at this jumping, you know, and even training dressage horses when they're so young. We look at some of the major players at Vallegra. I remember seeing videos of him when he was training at 5, and he was so athletic, and he looked so supple and so strong. And I would love to sit down with Carl one day and just say, talk me through your training, not your whole training process, because that would give away all his secrets. But, you know, what did he do? Because I do, when I did speak to Carl, he has said to me before, you know, it's all about slow and steady, and it's at the horse's pace, which I also think is really important. You know, it's not pushing the horse too hard. It's not overstretching them too much when they're too young. It's not pulling their heads in to make them stay there when their muscles in their neck haven't developed properly. So there's so much to think about when we are considering how young is too young. But I still can't get over the fact that I still think that 2 and 2.5 is too young for that. So do tell me, what are you doing with your horse? You know, how old was he when he first jumped him? Have you competed at a high level? I'd love to know. Do you breed horses? You know, do you breed and produce them? Please tell me, because I really, really would love to know the facts of young horses. Hashtag horse hour for any of your comments.
No one move, no one speak. Please don't say that it's just me. It's not just me. And even though
if this is it, all we have, I know I've done all I can. If this is it, and we can't stop and start again, we can't fast forward.
Welcome back to Horse Hour Live. Thank you so much for your comments, particularly on the dressage. I was really shocked to see how many of you are worried, actually, about how young horses are that are being trained in dressage. Roe said, what level dressage would you expect what age to be competing at? And Prince said, depends on whether the horse was pushed to get there or just finds the work naturally easy and has progressed there without being pushed. That's interesting. Half Step says it hugely depends. The FEI young horse tests are basically novice standard for 4-year-olds, elementary standard for 5-year-olds, and medium with flying changes. Then they've done another tweet, but without canter half passes for 6-year-olds. The assumption is the horse will then come out at PSG as a 7-year-old and start GP rising 9. That's interesting. So they've actually got tests based on the age of the horses, from what it sounds. Marie says, I was writing for PSG recently and noticed that at the top of the score sheet, it said horses must be at least 7 years old. That's good. Tempe agrees. WNC says, mine are 13 and 14 and doing prelim. We know that's great. We know they're over the development stages by 13 and 14, so that's good. Million Dollar says, depends on horse and rider. Mine is 6 years old, competing novice British dressage, working elementary at home, so hope to do a few elementaries by the end of the year. I've got no past experience. All I've done is hacking and hunting up until now. So 6-year-old competing at novice British dressage. That's fair enough, I think. I think these are all good ages. They're over, you know, they're over 4 years old. It's the ones that are under 4 years old. I'm concerned, yes. Interested, definitely, to know the facts. Why do you train your horse under 4 years old? How far do you push them? And what do you do with your training? Dressage Crazy said, all horses are individuals. My 10-year-old is competing medium and working advanced. He had to have 2 years off dressage when I bought him as a 5-year-old. He had been pushed to destruction as a young big horse because he didn't stop growing till he was 7 years old. It took ages to mature. That's really interesting, Dressage Crazy, because lots of horses don't stop developing until they're 7 or 8. I know that my horse, Blackjack, he continued to grow until he was 8 years old. He's now turned 9, and I know that he's reached his maturity. So through my process, when I was training him, I had to be really careful what I did. I couldn't push him hardly at all. Obviously, we all know why, because of the injury. The injury that he got was from a previous owner that pushed him too much. He was cart raced. He shouldn't have done that. He was only 2.5 years old. He got a tendon injury and it's hurt him for the rest of his life. But put that aside, he's a Friesian cross Gelderlander. Friesians tend to not stop growing until they're at least 6 or 7 years old. And this is, you can speak to anybody in the Friesian society about that. It's all about their training has to be gentle, and they're so heavy with their feet that you don't want to put any added pressure on them. So what age do other horses stop growing? Are they not actually mature, and are we pushing them way too hard? Tell me about your horses. Hashtag Horse Hour on Twitter. You can also comment on Facebook. A few questions to ask you. Do you have an ex-race horse? And what's he like? Is he okay? Was he pushed too hard? Or is he absolutely fine? He was trained at a young age and now he's really healthy, really fit, and he's been the best horse ever. 2, if you've got a dressage horse, what ages are you training through the process? So when are you starting to ask for contact? When are you starting to ask for lift? When are you asking them to be really, really strong on their hind end? Are there certain ages or does it depend on the breed? Really fascinated to know your opinion tonight. Hashtag Horse Hour.
Losing my mind, it wasn't cool, I was so sublime. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Horse Hour Live. We're talking young horses this evening. How young is too young to be training a horse? I'd like to share a story with you of Bob. He is based over in America. He goes reining. He backs horses, starts horses, breeds horses, trains horses. And I found his story quite interesting with how he actually starts horses. He says it's easy. He says starting horses young isn't necessarily bad if you're smart about it. In 1988, I rode a three-year-old colt called Smart Little Cowboy to my first National Reined Cow Horse Association Snaffle Bit Futurity Championship. The editor of a major magazine refused to run a story about my win because, in her opinion, I'd started the horse too young. He'd started him lightly under saddle early in his two-year-old year, but he didn't learn until later that he was a July colt. Bob says, it turned out he was the youngest horse I'd ever started, but it worked out well. He remained healthy and sound. And in fact, he went on to win AQHA Reserve World Championship in cutting and was AQHA National Champion Reining Horse several years after that. He's still breeding mares today. He's 23 years old. Bob says, what I learned from starting him young prompted me to start a lot of my horses just before they turn two, which is now standard practice in the futurity field. But the key to my horse's longevity is that I start them easy. So if you're reacting the same as I am right now, which is they start them just before they're two, then I'm eager to hear his training techniques and what he considers to be starting, what he considers to be, is it backing, breaking, riding, not riding? Because some people would consider starting a foal as starting the process of handling them and putting the head collar on them and getting them used to people. But what the starting that I think of is when you're backing them, is when you're training them under saddle or in hand and you're asking them to do things that they wouldn't normally do every day in their field. Bob goes on to say, I may ride my young horses for more days than some trainers do, but I'll put fewer hours on them. That matters a lot. I work hard not to stress them. I keep my arena footing worked and watered to minimise concussion on feet and joints. And I do a lot of low impact work at the walk on my colts and fillies, such as lateral movement. That way they slowly build physical strength and mental maturity. To me, starting babies is like building a house. Have you ever watched a cement foundation being poured? The builders take special care. They don't want to dry too quickly because that makes the cement brittle. The slower it dries, the stronger it is. Without a strong foundation, the rest of the structure will fail. He goes on to say, early training is the foundation of any horse. Without a good, strong one, you won't have a horse that lasts. And it takes a long time to build a good, strong foundation, which is why I start my futurity horses young. Ultimately, it lessens the pressure on them. I'm a big believer in career longevity for horses and have written repeatedly about that. Horses from my programme are out there winning on a national level into their mid to late teens. Good horses don't grow on trees. I want mine to last. By riding smart, I can help that happen. Now, interestingly, I believe with a lot of his thoughts and a lot of his opinions, we do want longevity for our horses. We do want them to grow up, to be happy, healthy, well-rounded competition horses, if you want, happy hacking horses, whatever you want your horse to be, as long as it's happy and it's healthy, that's what's important. What bothers me is, do we really need to start them so young? And even listening to Bob's story and his reasons why, I'm still not sure you should be putting a heavy-weighted man on the back of a horse whose skeleton hasn't even fully developed yet. I get how we can build strength, and I get that by walking a baby horse around, it's teaching them a lot. It's teaching them how to be handled. It's teaching them how to trust you and respect you and listen to you. So you could take a two-year-old and walk it around a school if you're on the ground, but I still don't agree with putting somebody on its back. What do you think? Tell me your opinion. Hashtag Horse Hour on Twitter. Because I don't know if I'm the only one that thinks that this is slightly crazy. So, it'd be nice to know if you agree. Or if you don't agree, then tell me why. Hashtag Horse Hour on Twitter. And you can comment on Facebook too.
Mama, cold-hearted child, tell me how you feel. Just a blade in the grass, a spoke onto the wheel. Oh my, my cold-hearted child, tell me where it's all gone. Oh, the luster off your bones, those arms that held you strong. I'm losing the ones I hold dear.
Welcome back to Horse Hour Live. We're talking young horses and training. When is too young to be training a horse? I thought I'd have a look and see what Monty Roberts thinks of the idea. Because he's been doing this for years. He knows a lot. And I was keen to just get his thoughts, really, and see what he thought. So Monty sent some information on his thoughts on training young horses. It's quite long, but I'd love to share it with you. His main point is the decision as to when to begin training a young horse, including the aspect of training that would involve riding, is relatively subjective, which I think we've decided that throughout this hour anyway. So many other things come into play with it. But Monty says, until science becomes a good deal more advanced in this area, there are only a few benchmarks that we have available, which are based on objective, proven science. One aspect that I see remaining subjective for a significant period of time would be the psychological factors where the young horse is concerned. This is why I love Monty, because we haven't even talked about the psychological impact. I've literally been focusing on the musculoskeletal and the bones and the tendons and the ligaments. But there are huge impacts on the psychology of the horse and what they have to deal with. Monty says the procedure whereby we x-ray the growth plates is now about 40 years in use. This science has not been encouraged sufficiently, in my opinion. It's relatively easy test of the skeletal maturity of young horses. It is my opinion that virtually every youngster that we begin to train seriously should undergo observations in this area. Body conformation is a factor. While it's relatively subjective, good horsemen can detect immature aspects of body conformation that the beginner would be hard-pressed to identify. These characteristics will often vary relative to the breeds in question. It's the rule of thumb that larger breeds require more time to mature than the smaller ones do. Great, so like I said earlier, Frisians do take a longer time to actually mature. It's between 7 and 8 years old. Some of the other horses, the other breeds, mature at five or six. Monty goes on to say that many experienced horsemen will first observe whether or not the overall conformation of the horse is level or unlevel. The individual which seems to be significantly higher in the front or conversely higher behind is thought to be less mature than one that is relatively level. The next consideration is often measured by muscular development. The immature horse will often be referred to as not filled out yet. What the horseman means by this is there is a lack of developed muscling. One can readily see that this is utterly subjective, as many 10-year-olds will be unlevel or lack significant muscle. These are only rather insignificant benchmarks by which to judge maturity in the young horse. So I guess he's giving us an idea of how we can tell if our horses are mature, not just based on their age, but based on some of the conformation. But I do see how he says that it is completely subjective, because some horses have had more training than others when they maybe shouldn't have done, and they may give the look or the idea that they're a bit older than they actually are. Monty says, when one reaches into the area of psychological maturity, it raises the bar as to subjectivity. Unless one is blessed with significant experience, it's difficult to identify behavioural patterns where psychological maturity is concerned. A young warm blood show jumper may well express the ability to jump great heights in his third year, but often the athletic output necessary will affect his young mind in such a way as to instill significant amounts of anxiety toward his work. This will tend to create a youngster which will charge at his fences or simply stop to avoid the stress and exertion. One will often see the early stresses of dressage training cause an immature youngster to resent his work, resulting in rearing or bolting, in an effort to avoid execution of manoeuvres which in fact overmatch him. I have often seen young cutting horses which, when overmatched while immature, actually refuse to turn and bolt away from their cattle. Once these behavioural manifestations have been expressed, they're very difficult to overcome. I believe that once a horse sees a way out of his responsibilities, then he becomes habituated to avoiding them. It's the obligation of every horseman to observe and execute manoeuvres with the young horse that allow for a feeling of confidence. The immature horse, like the immature human, needs to have fun so as to maintain interest and generosity in their chosen efforts. One needs to balance progress so as not to bore the youngster, riding a fine line between advancement and the maintenance of a healthy attitude. It is my opinion that interested horsemen should be cautious not to develop a knee-jerk attitude towards rules and regulations that would mandate the restriction of competition based on maturity. I have heard many people say two-year-old racing should be banned from existence. This tends to sound good to people who view themselves as caring for horses. In fact, one should be quite careful to consider both sides of every issue. If two-year-old racing was summarily banned, several factors would immediately come into play. One would be that it would require the industry to have two-year-old sales instead of yearling sales. Buyers would be reluctant to face 2 years of non-competition instead of one. At present, yearling sales typically occur when the animals are 16 to 18 months of age. This means the first saddling generally occurs around 20 months of age, and the time of the first race around the 28th to the 30th month. The second consideration would be that each of the breeding farms would have to accommodate the colts from 16 to 28 months in individual paddocks. Any thoroughbred colt being prepared for sale would have to be individualised during these months, or his battle scars would present an unacceptable picture in the auction ring. It's my opinion that during these months, some organised exercise is strongly advised in order to develop a strong body destined for professional athletics. Individual paddocks would obviously be extremely small and afford far less opportunity for stretching the limbs during these formative years. My third consideration would take the form of being adverse to legislating morality. I am strongly of the opinion that we should try at all times to cause people and horses to want to do the proper thing rather than telling them they must do the proper thing. Rules and regulations that would ban anything are often looked upon as challenges and are more often than not broken. In addition, one would anticipate enormous resistance to this idea, and in my opinion, it would be very difficult to prevail as a legislative edict. My personal preference in areas such as this is to first say it's perfectly fine to race two-year-olds, but it should be done only with the best interest of the horse has been assured. With that in mind, it's my recommendation that the associations should be approached with the proposal that it's fine to race two-year-olds, but only when their x-rays clearly place them in the category A. This status cannot be achieved until the individual is fully matured from a skeletal standpoint. While I realise that this would not address psychological issues, it would go a long way to allowing the horse sufficient time to be psychologically mature, even considering the subjective nature of that benchmark. What he's great because he's given us so much information. What this would effectively mean is that there would be very few two-year-olds eligible to race before August or September when they are about 29 to 30 months of age. It's difficult to imagine any owner that would argue that he wants to race his two-year-old, even though there is significant risk that injury would compromise his racing career. It is my opinion that there has not been enough educational effort to inform owners and trainers of the value of this analysis. The various associations involved should be immediately willing to address the issue. He's so clever. I love Monty. He also goes on to say, a caring person might say, just make the three-year-old classics later in the year. This, in my opinion, is a great thing to do. The logistics of it, however, would throw us right back in the area of trying to pass legislation that would equal the effort of climbing Mount Everest. We need to remember that the Breeders' Cup is in October and it's designed to find a champion and a classic winner of the three-year-old season. To move races like the Kentucky Derby, Preakness and Belmont would be akin to moving mountains. Personally, I would try to do it. However, I would make that attempt after the rule to race only Category A two-year-olds was in place for a season or two. Recently, I was told by an Olympic medal winner that the three-year-old futurity for cutting, reining and working cow horse competitors was a year too early. It seems to me that this is a slippery slope to begin criticising competitive efforts by simply saying make them a year later. It wouldn't bother me to see these futurities 1 year later, and I believe that on balance, the horses would be better off. It is a subjective call, however, and difficult to defend on specific scientific grounds. In this particular case, I would once again employ motivation rather than legislation. Interested owners and trainers should petition the association to offer greater amounts of prize money and prestige to the four-year-old derbies than they currently offer for the three-year-old futurities. Well, Monty has certainly put us in our place, and I do agree with his points that there's no... Is it worth legislating? Or should it be that we all just get together and say, let's try and x-ray these horses. Let's look at their psychological impacts that it's having. But also, he's right. What happens if we do ban these races and we do stop these competitions? What's going to have the long-term effect of the horse?
Never know when they'll pass you. Like a sum the mathematician cannot solve. Like me, trying my hardest to explain.
Step
Welcome back to Horse Hour Live. We're talking young horses and when do you start them, when do you train them? And you've been tweeting loads on Horse Hour, thank you. Pepper Stewart says, it's different for most. We get a good 30-day foundation as a two-year-old, then turn out until a three-year-old ready to really start training. He's got 7SC Ranch over in America. He does a lot of training with horses, young horses. And I trust you, Pepper, because I think I hear a lot about people turning out their horses after they've backed them, after they've started them, to give them a break, to give their brain a break, to kind of accept the information that you've taught them. I'd love to know more from you, though, Pepper. Like, what do you do? What's included in your 30-day foundation? Good evening, Alana. She's tweeted saying, if starting training too young, can it cause back issues like kissing spine because they've been worked whilst they're still growing? I think that's a really interesting question. Having a heavy guy or having anybody weighted on their back, if their spine hasn't yet developed, then is it going to cause more damage? She also then went on to tweet, is it true that the spine isn't fully formed until the age of 8? Well, I've done a little bit of research for you there, Alana, and I've got some myths and facts about your horse's bone development. When is it okay to start riding or to asking your horse to perform strenuous activities like jumping? So here's some things that you should know before you put your little youngster to work. You may have heard someone saying something about waiting until a horse's knees close to begin work, referring to growth plates just above the knee. But did you know that a horse's growth plates on pretty much every bone in its body, sometimes more than one, and the knees are not the last to fuse, so they're not the only ones to consider? Many people believe that certain breeds mature earlier than others. While that may be true of mental maturation, when it comes to skeletal development, all breeds generally mature on the same schedule. But the taller and longer necked your horse is, the later he'll finish developing. Which is why warm bloods often seem to take much longer, and probably why my Frisian takes a little bit longer as well, because he does have a big neck and he's very tall. But in general, the process of growth plates become bone. Happens from the bottom of the animal up. Most bones have fused by the time the horse reaches the age of 4, but the pelvis keeps growing until a horse is about 5. And some plates of the vertebral column do not fuse until a small horse is 5.5 or older. So I hope that answers your question, Alana. Most bones have fused by the time a horse reaches the age of 4, apart from the pelvis, because that's 5 years old. Do keep in mind, though, that some horses, especially quarter horses, look ready before they are, and some, like thoroughbreds, are given hard workloads as early as the age of 2. But that doesn't mean it's a good idea, because frequent injuries happen to young racehorses. So if you're thinking of riding a lovely 4 or 5-year-old, do keep in mind that his skeleton isn't fully mature yet. He might not grow visibly bigger, but his body is still developing into its adult form, and that may continue until he's past his 6th birthday. So be careful not to yank his neck or slam his back. Horses whose backs are still fusing are more vulnerable to back injuries and structural damage from riding. You don't have to wait until all of your horse's growth plates have fused to start riding, but you should be careful that the process is far enough along so you don't risk injuring the horse from riding or asking stressful manoeuvres. So not everyone agrees on the exact timing of the development, but many people start horses at 3 with no problems. However, Dr. Deb Bennett is one of the world's best experts on equine anatomy and conformation, and she advises waiting, ideally, until a horse is 4 years old to ride, and she suggests that horses can learn the basics of various disciplines at 5, so it's okay to jump, but they shouldn't be on the payroll doing hard repetitive work until 6. Giving a horse enough time to develop before you put him or her to work helps to ensure that he'll last in top form as long as possible. And as Bennett says, the longer you wait, the safer you'll be. I hope that answers some of your questions, Alana. And I will be inviting B&W Equine Vets onto the Horse Hour podcast to be discussing kissing spines next month. So if you've got any issues, I hope that we answer some of your questions for you. Thanks so much for listening to Horse Hour Live. You can catch up on all our previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast if you head to our website, horsehour.co.uk. There's loads of information on there as well, some education if you're looking for new things to try with your horse, or you might be a little bit worried, maybe they've got some lumps and bumps and you want some advice, then head to our education hub. I'm excited about next week's podcast because we've got the lovely guys from B&W Equine Vets, where we're talking the vetting process. Charlotte's joining us to talk us through the 2-stage and the 5-stage vetting and what we should expect. You can also hear Steph Erdley, and Steph is a Grand Prix dressage rider. She's a judge and she's just competed at her first international show for Great Britain. So I'm so pleased for her. And Steph gives us some advice on what the judges are looking for in your dressage test, and what it's like trying to get out and trying to get up to international level. You can listen to all those episodes on horsehour.co.uk, on Acast, on iTunes. And it's been lovely chatting with you tonight. Thank you so much for your comments. I hope you have a lovely week with your horse and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag HorseHour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.